For those who are working on their tithing this year, put tithing in your building fund right afterwards and take care of both of them all in one. So we bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and thank you for your many blessings. And we pray you bless this offering and that it may be used to further thy work. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.
Welcome each and every one of you here this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's truly a blessing to be here without a bunch of snow, which we're supposed to get. So we just don't know what's ahead of us, but it is a good day this day. I was thinking of Carol Lee, and we got a call yesterday morning that she was kind of in a coma, and within 2 or 3 hours, she had passed away. So it was a blessing that she did not suffer any longer. I know she was a school teacher down here for us, a Christian school, and I went up there to her. She was squatted down beside one of the kids there, talking to him just about the first day of school, and I felt like the Lord told me she has met her calling right here in teaching children. So that's when I probably came to think the most of her, right then and there. Our scripture reading this morning is from Alma 14:97. Behold, who can glory too much in the Lord? Yea, who can say too much for his great power and of his mercy and his long suffering toward the children of men? Behold, I say unto you, I cannot say the smallest part which I feel. That's Alma speaking there. We have an introit at this time. So we'll turn it over to them for that.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Oh,
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us and all that you've given us. We pray that your Spirit will be with us this day, that you will be with Gary and give him the words to say, that we might be able to use these words, learn from them, and grow closer to you. And I pray a blessing upon this service, that you may be with each and every one of us. These things I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to introduce our people up here this morning. Brother Richard Adams on my left, and Gary Fries is our speaker. And just a point of information, he was born in 1951, and him and his mother made a run to get out of the water, just like my wife and made a run with Susan to get out of the water, because we were both living down there where we had to move because of the 1951 flood. So they were born about a month apart in 1951. But anyway, everybody knows me probably. Anyway, I'm Vernon Pearson, and Baron Brooker on my right over here, who brought the invocation. Let's use hymn number 6 in our opening song here. Pretty interesting and really neat to listen to the stereo. Has music all the way around. It's just fantastically beautiful. Hymn number 6, we'll remain seated on it.
Nor language can be if their voice is not heard. their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun.
Crown him, Lord.
Ev Vernon told me to thank the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and I don't know who. I don't know who figured out that was one of my favorite hymns, so I really appreciate that. No, this is coming for quite a while. It's just before I went to Mexico, I was up front with Richard, and I think that was his first sermon. And I'm sure he knows a little bit about being nervous, even though he's up front quite a bit. Does anyone know what the meaning of glossophobia is? I don't see any guys out there that's got it, but I've had it all my life. It's a word for the fear of public speaking. So, I've known this is coming for a long time. I know that I've had this for a long time, so if the Lord wants me to do this, He's going to have to give me a lot of help. So, and I appreciate all the prayers that I'm sure I've been getting for the last week or so. My sister prayed me all the way to Mexico and back. The scripture reading that I took was Psalms 19, 1 through 4. And the last three or four months seemed like every time I'd pick something up to read it or plug in one of my little inspirational DVDs that I haul with me when I'm out of town, seems like I'd run across this Psalms 19, 1 through 4 all the time. So it kind of goes along with something that I'm pretty interested in. And I've also got one other short one here that comes from Psalms also I'd like to read. Psalms 8, 3 through 6, if I can find it. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. I wonder what David would have said about the stars in the skies if he'd had the Hubble telescope to take a look at them. We had decided several months ago that we weren't going to Mexico this year, and I was kind of disappointed. Virginia thought it was going to be too dangerous, and it's been over 3 years since I've got to go down. And one of the reasons I really wanted to go down is because we bought a piece of land down there about a year and a half ago, and I haven't seen it yet. All I've seen was pictures, and she went down and did all the paperwork, and I'm still waiting to go see it. But two or three weeks before I came home from out of town, Virginia says, I think we ought to go to Mexico. And I'm not going to argue with her. She wears the pants in the family. Especially when I wanted to go, too. So I wasn't about to say no. But one of the really neat things about down in Mexico, I don't know, has anyone been down there? I know a few of you have. How many people have been to Mexico? Okay, or Southwest Texas or somewhere out in the desert areas. If you go out at night and look at the sky, it's incredible. You come home and it's like, well, yeah, there's a few up there. But every time I've gone to Mexico, the skies were just incredible. Just her mom and dad live at the top of the hill. There's the whole town's built on the side of a hill. And her mom and dad live on this road that's right at the top of the hill, and that's the last road in town, and you walk 5 minutes and you're out in the desert. You can just stand there and just look at the sky and all the cities behind you, and it's over the hill so the lights don't bother you, and you can really get a really good glimpse of the sky. So after I'd chosen this, after Dan twisted my arm and for a scripture reading, and I kept thinking, well, I'm going to go down to Mexico and I'm really going to get some inspiration. I'm going to go out and walk in the desert at night and look at stars and cloudy. So the second night I go out, and well, it's a little bit better. It's almost as good as home. And after about 6 or 7 nights, it was starting to clear up pretty good. There was clouds all around the horizon, but right above my head, they were pretty good. And I figured it was getting better and better and better. I had one more night. Tomorrow night's going to be the night. I'm going to really get a good glimpse of the sky. And it got foggy and it rained. So I didn't get to see the sky down there. But I did get to do a lot of walking and looking at God's creation down there. I got to go out and see our property and walk around it. And met a lot of people down there that I didn't know before. And I know I'm going to have to learn how to speak Spanish because it's getting worse every time I go down. Everybody wants to talk to me and I don't know what... I haven't got a clue what they're saying to me. But... anyway, one of the things that I've come to there's a lot of problems with what we look at in the Bible, but not what we look at in the Bible, but what other people are teaching our kids about what's in the Bible, or not what's in the Bible. They're trying to tell us that it's not even right. And so I was looking at some information I had. In 1965, the scientists claimed that all the matter in the universe collected into a giant ball. It was 275 million diameters, or miles in diameter, and that ball started spinning and it exploded, and this is where all these stars came from, and all the Earth and moons and everything. In 1972, they said that that ball was 71 million miles in diameter. It's starting to shrink. 1974, it got down to 54 million miles in diameter. In 1983, they said it was 1/1,000,000,000th of the diameter of a proton. And we're supposed to believe that that little dot was so compressed and spinning so fast that it blew apart, and all of the universe came from this little dot that's smaller than a proton. Well, 20 years ago, they say we had a big bang. The Bible, I don't think it says that. It says something about 6,000 years ago, and I do believe in a big bang. I think at any time that you have trillions of stars coming into existence in a 24-hour period, I think that pretty well qualified an explosion. But speaking from someone who's been through an explosion, I don't know, some of you all, a lot of you all know about the experience that we had about 8 years ago when Virginia and I were in the house sleeping and the house blew up and blew us all out the yard. And I've never seen an explosion that creates anything but chaos. You know, you have splinters of walls and doors and glass all over the place. It would be kind of like if someone planted dynamite in a junkyard and it exploded and they got a Rolls Royce out of it. You know, this, the sky is no way possible that it could come from an explosion. Things are too uniform. Things are too perfect. The whole universe is almost like a living, breathing creature because everything depends on itself and the whole universe has effect on our lives, even though it's billions and billions of miles away, so they say. But in Genesis, I think it says, I don't want to misquote anything here, so. In the beginning, I created the heaven and the earth upon which thou standest, and the earth was without form and void. Now, without form and void, I think that's means like it's nothing there. It's without form, there's nothing in it. So if you add up all the dates in Genesis, you come up with a theory that that the world is approximately 6,000 years old, give or take 500 years or so. But they tell us that these things existed that had to have made the world millions of years old, because where did dinosaurs come from? Where did dinosaurs come from? Well, according to Genesis, on the sixth day, let's see where it's day six, God created every beast of the earth. So if God created every beast of the earth and he created man, how could science say that dinosaurs died out millions of years before man? So, and they're teaching this to our kids, that if you take a second-year-old kid, or a boy in particular, what's one of the things that he just loves to read about and look about and watch on TV? Dinosaurs. Well, the first thing that they do in a second grade book is say, millions of years ago, dinosaurs existed on this earth. How can you believe in God if you believe that dinosaurs existed millions of years before the earth was created? But anyway, back to the stars. I read something or it said that 11 trillion stars are out there for each and every one of us. That's a lot of stars. I don't even know if I could count to a million, yet alone 11 trillion. That's a lot. That's a big number. And I don't know who stayed up all night counting all of them, but and I'm not going to tell the county about it because the taxes will probably go up. But something else interesting that I came across was that the people that you knew in grade school and in Sunday school, by the time they're 25 years old, 80 to 90% quit going to church. And I can think back to when I was in, I was kind of split between two congregations. I mostly went to Buckner, but I spent a lot of weekends at Fred and Betty's house, and I went to Atherton Church. And I remember going to church with Susie back there and Alan, and there's quite a few kids that I knew from high school and church both. And I don't, Susie, can you remember how many kids that you went to Sunday school with are still attending church? You and Alan and maybe Dolores Vantile. I can't think of any of the other ones. Two that I went to Sunday school with when I was in Buckner still attend church. One's in the Community of Christ. And I'm the other one, and I've kind of come and gone through the years because of, you know, being out of town so much. But what they're teaching our kids in our schools is destroying our churches. They claim that they want separation of church and state. But if they're not teaching a religion, I'd like to know what it is. Because what they're teaching requires faith to believe in. There hasn't been one shred of evidence that they can prove that evolution exists. But we're paying taxes to put this inside of our schools to destroy our churches. About, according to the history books, millions of years, the earth was formed like 20 billion years ago, and then it rained on the rocks for millions of years. It was a molten form. The earth was bare. This is not the Bible, okay? And all of the, we got a soup out of these rocks, and somehow life came about in a simple single cell, and we're expected to believe that millions of years later that we have all this diversity of life, male and female, and 50 or 60 different kinds of dogs and all this kind of stuff. In Genesis, it says that God created every animal and man, male and female, of their kind. All of the fishes, all of the birds in the sky, all everything, in 6 days. About 3 years ago, I was privileged. I get to travel with my oldest son. It's a real trip, and every once in a while I get to travel with one or both of my other sons too. So about 3 years ago, Shane and I were doing a lot of work down in Texas and New Mexico, and we ended up doing a job in a place called Weatherford, Texas. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Weatherford, Texas. It's about 30 minutes west of Fort Worth on Interstate 20. And we were there for 3 weeks, and whenever we go someplace that has something worthwhile seeing, we usually try to make the effort to go. And so there's a place down there called Glen Rose. Has anyone ever heard of Glen Rose, Texas? You've been there. One couple in the crowd here. It's about 10, 11, 12 hours from here.
Three hours south of Dallas.
I didn't think it was quite that far, but
it was.
I drove it. It's been 3 years ago or four. Everybody needs to go see Glen Rose. This is an incredible place. They have a dinosaur museum down there, but there's a river called the Paluxy River down there that if you're familiar with Texas, it doesn't rain real often down there. But sometimes when it does, it really rains. It's in Dallas-Fort Worth area, it's really pretty flat and there's not a lot of runoff. And there's this river down there that's pretty well dry. There's water in it most of the time, but it's not like a running river. But whenever they have one of these rainstorms down there, the water runs through so fast that it rips rocks literally from the floor of the river. It'll tear off a whole layer of rock. About 100 years ago, I guess, they discovered that there was dinosaur footprints in these rocks where the dinosaur walked down through there and left his muddy footprints, and it had fossilized, and there were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these fossils. And then it would rain and it would rip another layer off and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dinosaur footprints down there. Well, this guy that owns this museum down here has been excavating for several years. He's got a lot of stuff in this museum. It's incredibly interesting. But they have found footprints of human footprints overlapping, stepping inside of dinosaur footprints. And, you know, I don't know how you can make a hoax like that, especially when there's layer after layer after layer of these rocks. I know there's a lot of people here that grew up on farms. I grew up on one. Vernon grew up on a farm. Obviously, some of the Owings back there, they done some farming. They've probably got some cattle out there somewhere, or have had in the past. I know Fred's had cattle in the past. If you were walking down a riverbank or creek bank and you were searching for a cow that you'd lost and you saw a fresh hoof print in that mud, would you think that it happened fairly recently? Probably would. And if you were really hunting for this cow, you'd probably want to follow in these footprints, and every once in a while you're going to step on one of these footprints and leave your footprint behind. Now, if it's all dried up or it's rained and washed away, you're not going to see much of anything. But these footprints overlap each other, and they have all these different animals that are supposed to have evolved at certain times during the history of the world and gone away, and new animals millions of years later, and all this sort of thing. They have found practically every one of these animals in the same level when they were digging. So everything was there at the same time. Dinosaurs didn't walk the earth 50 million years ago. I hate to tell this to any of the kids that's in grade school. It might break their hearts. My stepson was in love with, what was that movie, Jurassic Park or something like that. We had to watch that stupid movie at least once a day. And it was an interesting movie to watch, but it's probably done more damage than good since they come out with it, because it makes all these little kids believe in all this stuff. They did exist, but all these people say, well, you know, dinosaurs not in the Bible, so something's wrong there somewhere, because I'm sure they would have mentioned dinosaurs in the Bible if they'd been around. Well, the word dinosaur didn't exist before the 1800s. It was never in any dictionaries until probably mid-1800s or something like that. They were called dragons before that. And in the book of Job, I haven't got the exact place, but God's talking to Job while he's sitting there feeling sorry for himself and telling him, you know, have you seen this? Have you seen this? You've seen this? And he describes a brachiosaurus right in the middle of the book of Job. But he doesn't call it a dinosaur because the Bible was translated to English about 400 or 500 years ago. Something like that. And the word dinosaur didn't exist until the 1800s. So obviously there weren't any dinosaurs in the Bible. But the English language, you know, it changes over a period of time. They have new words that come out. They throw away old words. They change the spelling on stuff. And so just because it's not mentioned in the Bible doesn't mean it wasn't there. But somehow or another, when I was growing up, I don't know whether Dad impressed me with this or not, because I really didn't ever pay that close of attention in science class. At least I paid enough attention to pass, obviously, but I didn't put the two side by side and say this is right and this is wrong. It's like, this is what I got to learn and this is what I got to believe. And somehow or another, we have to teach our kids the truth about what's going on and teach them what they have to believe and what they got to learn if they have to pass those courses to get out of that place. But I don't know how many people have kids that are in private schools, Christian schools. They were? Okay, that helps a bunch. But most of the people don't have that, they have the option. They just probably just didn't, you know, go that far. They didn't have them when I was a kid, I don't think. But we did have school buses. We didn't have to walk to school like you did running.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but uphill both directions.
Bonnie's the one that had to walk the long way.
Bonnie.
He was over school.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I hope I said something to maybe open your eyes. I forget about it all the time. I know that my kids are all raised now, so I don't have to worry too awful much about what they learn at school. Sometimes I wish they hadn't learned so much at school, but now I'm down to grandkids, and maybe before long might even be great grandkids. I'm not real sure, but most of us have children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews that we would really like to keep them going to church, at least give them a chance. But I think it'd be a good idea to set them down and talk to them once in a while about what the truth is and what they should be believing in, and put a line in between what they need to learn and what they need to believe in.
Thank you, Gary. What we got last week from Richard: the smarter we get in education, the less we believe in Christ. And I think that's something we all need to take into consideration. If you ever have the opportunity to go to Glen Rose, Texas, I highly recommend it, because there are several sites down there that those footprints are in. I know George Mefford got caught casting one of those footprints. I don't know whether he got it home with him or not. Plaster cast. Another thing, I sitting there thinking about this evolution theory that we have, and I threw it out to my son one time, and he about died laughing. First a cell in the sea, then a monkey in a tree, then a professor with a PhD. I really don't think the Lord quite created it like that. We'll close our service with hymn number 19. Shall we stand?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for this opportunity to gather and to hear from our brother Gary, as you have spent time with him preparing for this. We thank thee for that. And Father, we're thankful for that protection you gave his family, for when the house blew up, that he, you sent your angels to comfort them and be with them and protect them as we cleaned up that and moved walls, how heavy that was, and knowing that you protected him for us and for him to be called upon the priesthood. We thank you for that. It's a true testimony for all of us that it saw that destruction that day. Father, we ask you to be with us and deliver us home safe and be with us throughout this week. And we ask a special blessing over Gary that you protect him in his travels, making a living for his family, and that we think of him often as he travels. Father, we love thee and we thank thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, see you guys later.